Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the St. Louis Podcast. I'm your glorious host today, Eric Brown, sitting next to Adam Ferris. Today we have Jeff Lovecchio. Hopefully I didn't butcher that as I usually do. Boom, there we go. On the St. Louis Podcast. Yes, yes. So a little bit about Jeff, retired professional hockey player, owner of GMT, Give More Training, previously Ripped Hockey, co-host of the Hockey Think Tank podcast, and originator of the Give More, Be More mindset and training protocol, and you also said clothing brand as well. So welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys. Excited.
Absolutely, absolutely. So St. Louis Podcast, each and every Friday, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time, we drop an episode on all major podcasting, audio, and video platforms, where we meet with the most badass people and creators, talk about business, entrepreneurship, and current events. All right, so I'm curious. Let's take it back. So you played, obviously, hockey in college. You got drafted by the Bruins. I looked up, it looks like you had a concussion, so that pretty much killed like the first season that you were going to play professionally, correct?
Yeah. Actually, I was undrafted. I signed with the Bruins after my junior year. Okay. Left college early to go pro. Usually what they do for most players is you go play in the AHL to finish out like the rest of that season, get your feet wet, learn what it means to be a pro.
Mm-hmm.
Because my team in college, we had a tough year. We got swept. So I was there for a long time. Okay. I was there for like 2.5 months in the AHL, played really well. You know, they're like, you know, you're gonna play in the NHL, maybe not next year, but like, we'll see, you know, mm-hmm. like you did everything we want you to do. And that summer I came home and the first time I skated, I fell on the boards going full speed, just fluke accident.
Yep.
And kept hoping I'd wake up and be okay, and wound up, I didn't play a game for like a year and a half between mm-hmm. like the season before, and I missed a whole season and then the next year. So mm-hmm. it was pretty tough.
Yeah. Yeah. So from a concussion standpoint, I mean, in those 18 months, I'm curious, like, was it a noticeable effect as far as like sleep, mood, everything?
I was seeing doctors 5 days a week.
Okay.
Yeah. I was messed up.
Yeah.
Like I had to, if I closed my eyes, I'd fall over immediately, like mm-hmm. within a second. I had to set a timer when I went in grocery stores for probably the first, like, I don't know, 6 months maybe, for 4 minutes. Like if I was in there for over 4 minutes, I would be throwing up or get like lost almost because of all the sensory information. Driving was tough. You know, my second biggest passion behind hockey was training
mm-hmm.
and training for hockey specifically. And I couldn't do that.
Yep.
Basically couldn't do anything. Mm-hmm. It was for probably like, it was until like after Christmas, and the concussion I think happened end of June maybe,
mm-hmm.
And it wasn't for, you know, another 6 months, 7 months till I went to see actual concussion specialists out at UPMC, University of Pittsburgh Medical Clinic,
mm-hmm.
Dr. Mickey Collins, world famous concussion specialist, and after I saw him, like I started to turn the corner, did a whole bunch of different stuff. They helped me a ton. And by the end of that season, I got in the last two practices of the year, like actually practicing mm-hmm. full contact with the team, which gave me hope and then allowed me to have a really good summer training.
Yeah.
That summer, go into my second year pro, and I won testing at the Boston Bruins NHL training camp, and I played 5 games in the preseason in the NHL the next year after missing a year and a half of hockey.
That's
like it
crazy.
Was crazy. Everybody's like, what is going on here? But I gave myself a chance despite like I was never really the same. Like, you know, I tried mm-hmm. to play as close to what I was before, but it's pretty tough when you have something like that happen.
Sure.
Your brain and your mindset and like all these things.
So did you learn anything about your brain health, anything like what about not only just an athlete or anyone that puts their, you know, head in a place of injury, but also just the average person? Is there anything that they could be doing just from, say, a supplement standpoint or stuff to stay away from, or things that they can actively do to improve brain health? Because I don't, you know, I'm a big proponent of health. I don't think like brain health really isn't something that's talked about very much.
Yeah, which is hilarious.
Yeah.
It's because we don't have
it's the most important thing in our body.
I mean, we don't have a healthcare system. We have a sick care system. Mm-hmm. Like, they want us sick. Like mm-hmm. literally they do. There's no doubt about it with how they treat. They treat with meds, and like meds don't heal. It's a Band-Aid,
right.
You know? And I saw that with my brain, you mm-hmm. know, vestibular training is like really, really important. And it's something that, you know, you see kids, and this is something I've also like, I've taken into my training career, and it's why I have so much success with my guys, is because I don't just use the gym to lift.
Yeah.
We do all these other things, and some of them I learned about the brain when I had a traumatic brain injury, right. and I was doing all this rehab for my brain and my eyes and my ears and vestibular system, and I kept doing it once I got healthy, and it made me a better hockey player, made me a better athlete. So then I was like, oh, wow, like all of this stuff that I'm working on top of lifting and jumping and sprinting, this is making me better on the ice. So I kept digging into that, and which I have been, you know, my concussion happened in 2008. So, you know, we're coming up on, you know, 15, 14 years here where I've just been like diving deeper into that stuff. And how can I find that extra 1% for my clients through all of these different modalities that help you be a better athlete, not just like bigger, stronger, faster. I want that. But I also want all this other stuff too that 100% translates to better athletic potential and athletic ability.
Yeah. And of course, I guess a lowering risk of injury, right, too?
Well, a big thing that people don't understand in contact sports is spatial awareness is extremely important. Mm-hmm. Knowing how much time and space I have before you hit me, or like having the wherewithal and the practice of always doing things with your eyes up and, you know, practicing spatial awareness, vestibular system. So I know when I'm going into a situation, okay, like I know how close this guy is to me. So I have this much time to do this type of thing.
Yeah.
If you don't know that, you're putting yourself in more dangerous positions more often, and probability sooner or later you're going to get popped, whether it's, you know, with an NFL guy I'm training, NHL, like anything.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about fights in hockey? Are you pro?
Yeah, I think they should be part of the game. Like, there's no doubt about it. Knowing what I know about concussions now, it's tough for me to say take it out of juniors, because juniors is high level hockey, junior, college, pro, like those, you know, junior level and above. But junior players still aren't pros. Mm-hmm. They're still not being paid to play the game. You know, I played with some guys who might have fought 15 to 20 times a season as 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 year olds.
That's crazy.
That's a lot of fights, you know, and I'm not for the wussification of America or anything like that. But kids' brains, you know, like they're not fully formed yet either. So pro hockey, absolutely.
100%.
But the only thing then is if you take it out of the, you know, the younger ages, like juniors specifically, not below, are those guys going to know how to protect themselves against pros when they get to pro?
Yeah.
There's way less fighting now, like way less fighting in pro hockey, like so much less than when I played. I just had Chris Pronger on my podcast last week.
Hell yeah.
And there's way less fighting when I played than when he played, you know, before me, not the overlap. Yeah. So, you know, it still serves a purpose, because guys aren't running around like donkeys trying to kill people if you've got a guy on the team who's going to go grab him and beat the piss out of him.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
very true.
I played with Steve McIntyre when I came out of college. Steve McIntyre is pound for pound one of the biggest and toughest guys, just period, ever to play in the NHL. I've never seen anyone punch harder than this guy. 275 pounds when I played with him.
Yeah.
I think the next year he played in the NHL for the first time, I think he dropped down to maybe like 255, 260.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But like, 275 on skates?
That's crazy.
I mean, like,
moving you could, at you?
I could do whatever I wanted when he was on the bench.
Yeah.
I could run around, hit people, talk smack, did not matter.
Yeah.
Oh, what do you, Mac will get you. Yeah. You know? Yeah. So he's out of the lineup.
Yeah.
Teams played against us differently. So I saw that firsthand.
Yeah. Well, it seems like brain health is becoming a bigger thing. His brother, Jason Kelsey, just retired.
Mm-hmm.
And he's now coming out talking about like CTE that he thinks he has.
Well,
now that he just retired. But of course, he's a lineman.
Yeah.
I mean,
and you hit your head.
They're jamming every single play.
Every single play.
Yeah.
Every single play. Yeah. And on top of that,
and they try to minimize it as well with the.
And he's older.
Hit the top. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right? And he's older, which means when he was practicing, all coming up from a little kid when he started playing football, they were going contact all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're not doing contact all the time anymore.
No.
They've stopped doing that for the most part. You know, there's still
like programs two times a week.
Right.
Pads.
So like at least like that's a great thing for football, you know, but
they've been minimizing it over the years though. Even when I played like Pee Wee and Bantam and stuff, they would, you know, I was always been a taller kid. You would like hip check somebody and they'd be like, oh, that was too hard. You know what I mean? And so then they finally got to a point where like, I think the
when you're on the juniors. Yeah, you played for Junior Blues, right?
So no.
Or the
Central States.
Central States? Oh, yeah, where?
Falcons.
At?
Falcons.
Oh, yeah. Awesome, man. My gym's in their rink.
Yeah.
So cool.
Yeah,
Very cool.
When we were back at
Hardee's.
At Hardee's.
Yeah, bro. Yeah, that's where I grew up, man. What birth year are you?
Was that?
What birth year are you? 01?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so I did that for a little bit, but played all the way
till... I was skating at that rink when you were around there buzzing,
I know,
for sure, man.
I
used to go and skate with the AAA Blues that were 2000s, 2001s, all those guys. So that's cool.
Over the years.
Very cool.
A good time.
Yeah. So what were the rules when you played?
I'm trying to remember, but I'm pretty sure that...
They just started calling, like, bigger hits.
Everything, everything.
As he got to, like, so 2001.
Because when I was a Banta,
like,
or when I was Pee-wee... I don't think you were able to check.
Oh, they switched it. Because when I was a peewee, which means like I played peewee in fifth grade, but most peewees are like seventh, eighth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I played up, but like you could hit. But now peewees, you can't.
Mm-hmm.
So they pushed it back a little bit later, which, you know, then you're like, well, now they're bigger and stronger and faster. They've never checked and they've never taken a check.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense or not? And that's just something we'll find out over time here is did this work or not work?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's almost like there needs to be, and I'm a complete noob when it comes to hockey. I never played. I'm terrible on skates. But when it comes to them, you think checking, if you're not moving that fast at one another, I mean, how else are you supposed to play defense or offense on the puck?
Yeah.
If you're not checking, all you're
doing
is
contact sport.
You're just pressing triangle, you're stickless.
Well, the kids are just getting a little more, you know, if you want to call it finesse, they're becoming more finesse players. And I had no finesse. I was just all, you know, height and power.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wasn't it looked bad when I skated, but I was fast.
So maybe it's not a bad thing.
No.
If they're learning more finesse.
Well, I don't know, because, like, you know, we can get into the weeds on this stuff, but, like, there's been a heavy emphasis on individual skills training on the ice now, where players are faster, they have unbelievable skill, but they don't understand the game as much anymore because it's all about individual.
Yep.
So when they get in a hockey game, it's not tennis, it's not golf, it's not a one-on-one sport, it's 5-on-5.
Yep.
So like you have to know how to use your teammates, you have to know like how the team game is played and passing and jumping into holes and you know, manipulating time and space. And if you're only skating around cones working on your own stuff, which is what has happened over the last couple years, you know, the team game is suffering, which means that you have all these kids who are very, very skilled, but at the higher levels, if they're not taught the team stuff, they're not able to translate that to success.
Yep.
And you know, people, why can't he make? He's really good. Well, he's really good in practice.
Yep.
Practice is not a game.
Big difference.
You know, we talk about practice.
Yep.
Allen Iverson.
Well, I think high school is a big, you know, part of that, because in club and things like that, you don't really have an opportunity to. I guess you do have an opportunity to kind of be a one-on-one guy, but most of the guys, if you're on a placement team where, you know, you're the same skill set as everybody else on that team, you and your teammates are pretty, you know, equal level. But then you go and play, like, you know, high school, for instance, and you got some Central States kid with a bunch of kids that have, you know, maybe this is, you know, the third or fourth year playing hockey.
Yeah,
like, I think you know Colin Stewart.
Yeah, great guy.
So I played with him for a little bit, and then he went to Lafayette. And we'd play him, and I played Parker West, and he would just be dancing around kids and things like that. And finally, they got some, you know, people on their team that were the same skill level. But, you know, he's just nasty when you're thinking about a high school team. But then he goes back and, you know, he's part of the team again when he's on
the
playing Central States or whatever he was doing.
It's unfortunate, like, bringing that up. Like, St. Louis is one of the only cities where they allow players to play high school and AAA.
Yeah, it's rare.
And it's awful because the AAA players, of course, they want to play high school in front of their friends, in front of the babes in the stands.
Yeah.
And I totally get that. Yeah. I 100% get that. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the high school coaches don't realize that, like, if they're playing AAA, not only is their family spending so much money to do it, but, like, if you're playing AAA, like, you really only play AAA if your goal is to try to get to juniors, try to get a scholarship, because of the time, energy, effort that goes into it, not only from you, but also from your family, your parents, your support staff.
Yeah.
And so these kids in St. Louis, because they allow them to play both, and, like, high school battles with AAA, and they don't do a before and after season, like, they make them do in other states where they let them play both. They don't let them play both at the same time.
Sure.
It's before before and after, AAA is where you get to the next level. St. Louis High School hockey, it's great. It's great for the kids that that's their level. But for the kids who are really trying to get places, it's hurting them because they're under-recovered. They're not able to get in the gym.
Yep.
Like, they're not eating enough. They're skating. Some of these kids are double practicing.
I was about to say, two practices
triple
a day.
Practicing.
Yeah, or like the high school coaches making them come to, you know, the high school practice.
High school coaches are absolute buttheads making them come to. And from a team standpoint, I totally get that. But that is not what's best for that kid whose goals are to leave St. Louis in a year or two and play high-level hockey. You're hurting that player.
Yeah.
And I just wish that the two would come together, the high school organization, the AAA organization, and figure it out for what's best for these kids.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, because I saw your Instagram story the other day talking about all the players that are leaving, go playing elsewhere.
Yeah.
I'm not in the loop of, you know, Junior Blues or Carson or any of those guys anymore. Is it just because we're just underdeveloped here? Or is there not the opportunities that there are, you know, elsewhere?
No, that's the thing. We have everything here.
Yeah.
We have skills coaches. We have TPH, Total Package Hockey. That is, you know, it's one of my former pro clients, Phil McRae, played for the Blues for a little bit. His dad played in the NHL, is an NHL assistant GM still to this day. Phil is amazing, and he's running that academy, and those kids are getting so much better. Like, it's awesome. Yep. We have him. You know, we have strength coaches like myself who get how to help, you know, help thousands of hockey players get to the next level. Mm. We have you know, good teams. We have all these things, but we don't like put it together.
Right.
It's like, well, you got to go here for this and here for that and here for that and here for this.
Yeah.
Where other cities and states, it's all in one spot.
Right.
And
why is there no organization? What's the problem? These people just don't want to play nicely with one another.
I'm sure that's
ego?
Part of it. They're parent ego.
Yeah.
Board ego, coach ego. And this is all hockey. I'm sure it's all youth sports.
Sure. Sure.
You know, also like, a lot of, and I've realized because I work with organizations around the country now, and some like over in Europe and Canada, I work with organizations all over the world with my online training now.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like to me, the organizations that do it best, the people who are on the board are in paid positions. So they give more time, they care more about it. In St. Louis, we don't really have that, you know? And so
our non-for-profit game is... It's kind of weak in St. Louis. Yeah, I was just talking about this with someone actually yesterday. In terms of just exposure, like properly running it, it's a lot of there's a lot of just non-for-profits that really at the end of the day is almost like a social club, and they're not really getting anything done, which is a problem.
It's unfortunate. Just, you know, and it's things could be better here. And another thing too with, I'm sure all youth sports, but especially hockey, if one kid leaves a team, and he's the best player.
Yep.
Oh, now we lost the best player. Well, now the second and third best player are like, well, he's leaving.
Yep, so
I got to leave because he's leaving, or else I'm left behind. And it's like, that's not the case. That's not how it works.
Yeah.
At AAA, you're getting scouted everywhere you go.
Yeah.
Every rink has a camera in the ceiling. All the scouts have free access to every camera in every rink. If you are good, they find you.
Yep.
They found me in St. Louis when nobody watched St. Louis hockey, you know, 30, 20 years ago, right? Like, if you're good, they will find you. But like, people get in the parents' head and like, oh, your team's not going to be ranked next year and you're not going to be good enough. Nobody's going to come. It's not a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But parents don't know what they don't know. And maybe the organizations aren't doing a good enough job educating parents.
Right.
This is what matters. Mm-hmm. Development every day.
Yeah.
Responsibility. Eat all of your protein, get your nutrition in, get your sleep in, get your grades, do your off-ice training, attack practice every day with your goals in mind. If you have a higher level goal, not only are you competing against every other kid around the country, now it's around the world to get a scholarship because now players are coming to play juniors and college from around the world, not just the U.S. So you're competing against kids in your city, your state, your you know, area, your country, North America, all of the world. So it's like, how good do you want to be? Mm-hmm. And so I just think that we could do a better job here. And I'm sure everywhere thinks that, you know, like I'm just somebody who I'm always like, is there a better way? If there is, let's do it.
Yep.
Let's do it. Yep. Let's do it. Because I look back to when I played and we didn't have like anything for guys my age. Like we had coaches who cared and they did a great job, but like we didn't have locker rooms where you could keep your gear.
Yep.
We didn't have a weight room. We didn't have an off-ice training program. We didn't have a skills coach. We didn't have video. We had nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have all of these tools, but for some reason, we're not putting them together to have the best kids have the best chance to keep moving forward. Like all of these kids should be staying here unless they're getting a scholarship somewhere, because hockey's expensive. Right. Somebody's getting a scholarship to somewhere.
Yeah. Leave.
I totally get that. You know, it's a great program, and you get a scholarship, and your family needs that. Totally get that.
Yeah.
Other than that, you know, it's chasing greener pastures, and you're just not watering where you are. That's why it's not green.
I mean, in between Centene and Maryville, I don't know why we don't have a bigger presence. Those facilities are crazy.
Amazing.
I mean,
both brand new.
I mean, we went to, when I played, we were at like Hardy, St. Peter's.
Did you go to Fairview Heights?
Yeah.
Because I had to drive to Illinois 50 minutes, two to three times a week.
The old Lindenwood rink in Wentzville.
It's
the problem, not money. It's the fact of people running the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, money always becomes a factor because, like, you know, some of these teams don't pay their coaches enough. So then they can't get the best coaches.
Right. I heard Centene wasn't even profitable.
Oh, no. I mean, Centene's not doing the best.
Yeah.
I mean, you just look that up. They defaulted on their bonds, whatever.
That's
I'm not a part of that. I don't know. My gym's not there.
Yep.
My gym is in Maryville, and they're crushing it, and obviously my gym is too. So, but, I mean, it was supposed to be like, what, 20, 22 million, 28 million? It wound up being 78 million?
Yeah.
Like,
place.
Guys,
it's
a youth hockey rink.
I think it always comes down to money, though, because even when,
everything comes down to money.
Yep.
Really, it's you know, the kids that – had the access to, everybody has access, but when you really want to talk about who had access to go after practice and then go do that training session, you know, dry land or whatever it was, or, you know, do the summer camps even. Like I did, you know,
that's the biggest thing about hockey.
It's
the most expensive sport.
So expensive.
Yeah.
By far the most expensive sport.
10 to 15 sticks a year. Just
You know. I broke 24 sticks before Christmas my sophomore year.
Yeah.
Back then, sticks were...
What's an average cost?
They're like $350.
Now they're the best sticks over 400.
Yeah.
It's like 405, 410. Yeah. Back then, it was probably 200. But I broke 24.
I'm glad I played baseball. $200
sticks.
Yeah.
I wasn't paying for them. The university was.
Right.
So, but, I mean,
well, now you get
one
to the
guy.
Point, you get your own curve made. You get your name put on them. And now they're like 500,
that's crazy.
You know, 700 for
But you can snap
a
stick.
Another.
Oh yeah.
Oh, it's super easy.
Yeah. I broke 4-1 game in college.
Yeah.
4-1 four brand new.
There goes a grand.
I mean, you get a little pissed off at a play, you'll snap it yourself. You don't need a good play.
And if you're a kid,
play.
Mom and dad are pissed.
Yeah.
You go, how the fuck did that break? You know, you saw me over there.
Yeah.
I hit the bench.
Did you?
Yeah, I hit the bench.
Did
with
you see that play? That's why.
Yeah.
That's why.
No, I think money's the barrier though, because the kids that couldn't. And you would have those one-off guys. I had this kid on my team, and he was like a, you know, Hillsboro or something like that, farm kid.
Mm-hmm.
Never done any type of training, and he was just a natural, you know, athlete, and he was good. But I think a lot of people don't have that, you know, athletic nature about them, and they got to do that extra training. And if they don't have the accessibility to it, they're not going to get to that next level. I think, you know, double A or whatever is going to be the end for them most of the time.
I mean, that's literally one of the reasons I started my online training company is because, you know, and – because we talk about hockey's expensive, the way that I've structured my in-person training with hockey players is larger groups so I can keep costs down.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That is first and foremost, because I don't want anybody to say I can't work with you because I can't afford it.
Right.
I literally, my competitors charge 4 and 5 times as much as I do in other cities.
Mm-hmm.
But like working with NHL, Division I, Division III, junior players. But like my goal is to keep costs down. So I do a little bit larger groups to facilitate the ability for pretty much everybody to work with me. Mm-hmm. But even that being said, it's still, you know, it's not cheap.
No.
So I started my online training where it's like, you know, you're paying $10, $12 a week only.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that's not even close to one session with me. So.
You got the stuff on your Instagram now. We didn't like even... Back in the day, you had
there
your iPod Touch. No, there's no Instagram. You could get.
I was actually going to ask.
Instagram.
Yeah. Is social media not a way for someone to utilize and show their skills to get? I mean, to get eyeballs at the end of the day.
Yeah, but
it
wouldn't really be. No, not at younger levels.
Really? Okay.
No, like
something in a, just like a high school or just killing it on Instagram and getting a shitload of followers. I don't know if that would bring
99%. That's not doing anything for everybody. Like if you're good.
So it's all ego.
All the scouts know where you are.
Okay.
They all know where you are.
Fair.
There's everybody's ranked and there's websites like Elite Prospects that show every game you've ever played. And like you can watch video clips of anybody. And like, so that's that's not really a thing, but it's, I look at it the other way. Like he's talking about, oh, you know, you live on a farm or you don't live near a gym.
Right.
Well, you kids now have YouTube, Instagram. I don't have TikTok, but I'm sure there's people like me on TikTok that give out free info every day.
Yep.
Like if you really want it, you can go out there and get a ton of free info that will help you. Is it as good as having a legitimate performance coach next to you?
No,
probably not, but No excuses.
Yep.
It was like Herschel Walker used to just run up and down a hill with a tire strapped to him.
Yeah.
Unbelievable NFL player. Like,
yeah, go do
it. Find a way. Yeah. Find a way or else find yourself out of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
So do you see, I'm curious, why'd you come back to St. Louis after? Why'd you decide to move back here?
Yeah, dude, because like I said, when I was playing in St. Louis, I'm an 85. Mm-hmm. So I'm quite a bit older than you, relatively, in hockey terms. We played in a league called the Michigan National Hockey League when I played for AAA Blues.
Yep.
For us to be in that league, they said, yes, AAA Blues can be in the league, but no teams have to go to you. If they don't want to come to you, they don't have to. You have to go to them.
Really?
So there was like two teams that would come to us when I played AAA Blues. I had to travel out of town every single weekend.
Shit.
That pissed me off my whole life. Like my whole life, starting in seventh grade, pissed off about like, what? You don't think we're good enough? So we had a big, and we weren't most of the age groups back then, maybe, but still like to say we're not good enough to spend money on it. We always have to spend money. And I didn't go to any dances. I didn't go to any high school parties, like all these things. And I don't look at those as sacrifices. I look at them as investments in myself, which they were, but huge chip on my shoulder. I will always have that on my shoulder. And I left St. Louis at 16. 17 was my first year juniors in Omaha. Once I got to juniors and I learned like the higher level stuff that wasn't being taught in St. Louis at that time, I came home every single off season and would skate with all the guys younger than me. Literally every week I would skate with them and teach them. And my old coach would let me coach practices and I would coach spring league. Mm-hmm. And I would just be like, look, this is what I need to know at this level. You guys are almost there. So let's start working on it now.
Yep.
And then I started my training company after my third relatively bad concussion in pro, which was my third year. And I was like, oh man, at that point, I think I was already on concussion, like 9.
Right.
I was obviously lying to teams about how many I had.
Sure.
And so I started my training company and I was like, well, I'll just, you know, do this to get into it. If I get another one, I'm probably going to have to retire,
right.
You know, and just every summer I would come home and my company got bigger and bigger and bigger. So not only did I grow my reputation to help players mentally, physically, emotionally, in the gym, on the ice, all that stuff, it's also that chip on my shoulder will never leave. And I want St. Louis to be known as the biggest hockey hotbed in the U.S. Like that is my goal. That is my goal, is that St. Louis is known that we produce players here. And I get offers all the time to you know, be a strength coach of a college or a pro team or move out. Hey, come run this gym, this sick gym, all this money. No, St. Louis.
Yep. It seems like St. Louis, we produce a lot of good players in all sports. Mm-hmm. And even from a standpoint of, you know, looking back at the MLS finally bringing a team to St. Louis, you know, we had the largest, it was like 2016, what do you call it, where they have the soccer tournament every like 2 years?
It's the World Cup or whatever.
The World Cup, and St. Louis was the city that was the most watched in the United States for soccer, specifically for that.
Wow.
And that was like a thing for a while.
Soccer's huge here.
Yeah.
And like those clubs like Gallagher and Luke Fuse, they are massive
huge
clubs.
Huge.
It's really cool.
Yep.
Really cool.
Every kid plays it.
It's awesome.
There's so many.
Lacrosse is getting big, at least it feels like it. A lot of my hockey guys play lacrosse also, which I love.
Is there any money in it, though?
In pro lacrosse?
Yeah.
I trained the first overall pick just a little bit when he comes in town. But I didn't know his salary.
You got like the PLL and things like that.
There's two. There's MLL and the PLL.
Yeah, and you have like Paul Rabel and those guys. You heard of them?
No idea.
Like number one in the league or something like that.
I watched lacrosse in high school. It was always cool.
Yeah.
Those are sponsorship guys. I don't think the league pays them much, but I think they...
But if you're a personality now and you use social media as leverage and all these things, you know, you can find ways to make money. But it's not like the other big sports as far as salaries.
I think with lacrosse also, most of the people that play it, not everybody, I think most of them usually come from money, so the money's not their goal. It's, you know, they went to Johns Hopkins.
It's like a big East Coast thing people have money for sure. Yeah.
They're like North Carolina and stuff like that. Like they had money before they did, and they got money after they did it too.
Right. Yeah. Because they were saying the Blues last year, they sold out every game but one.
Wow.
Which is crazy.
So
second year in a row.
So cool.
And also the second year that they've missed the playoffs.
Yeah, it's a boof. But like, you also got to think too, like, they won the cup a few years ago. Like, I know
they did.
You don't want to rest on that.
They did.
But also, they didn't win for how long?
Yeah.
And so then they won.
We need to turn our hate to the Cardinals.
Yeah, we do.
Cardinals are trash.
Are they? I don't watch baseball. I don't know. I'm going to the game Monday, but I don't watch
baseball.
St. Louis
sports, I can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
It's always something new. It is.
It's like so slow.
Even going to the games, it's like, usually I'm like, I'm not going to watch it unless I'm at the game. Even baseball, I'm like, I'm not going to the game.
You don't drink, right?
No. So at a wedding, maybe once every 2 years.
Yeah. Why the hell would you want to go to a baseball
game? Yeah,
no.
the only reason to go
is drink some beer.
Only way I'm going is if I get invited to the suite.
Yeah, sure, exactly. Fair.
I'm there to see people. Like, the last game I went to was probably 2 years ago. I don't know if I watched one pitch.
No.
You know? No. And,
just hanging out.
But this is something that's interesting. So I'm a first-form athlete. So I was up at first-form, I want to say it was a month ago, and my boy, my coach, advisor guy up there, Nick, is a big baseball guy, used to be a baseball coach. And he was telling me about the nuances of, you know, the game that I didn't know that made it way more interesting. And I was like, oh, wow. Because
they changed the rules and stuff like that, right?
Well, and just like, you know, like where you're trying to hit it when a guy's in this position and the gameplay that's going on.
I've never gotten into it.
Yeah, and I was like, I didn't know any of this. Mm-hmm. And that makes it a little bit more interesting.
Yeah.
Still a little bit like watching paint dry, but I respect what they do, you know?
I think if you grow up, I don't know, I grew up playing baseball pretty much my whole life, and now I turn on a game and I'm like, unless it's like playoffs, I'm just like, I cannot.
I played it. I love playing it. I love playing all sports.
Yeah.
I don't really like watching them that much.
No, personally,
you know?
Hockey and football is all I watch.
Yeah. Football is so easy to watch because it's like the perfect American sport because we have no attention spans and all you got to do is watch for 3 seconds and you get a 30-second break.
Yeah, right. It's nice. Yeah. And that's a game where people, you know, that's a game where people shit on it and saying, you know, okay, the play is 5 seconds and then they have a minute to reset. But I'm like, everything that goes into both of those teams and all those players on the field, like choosing a play, getting them in the right position, moving players after they're set. I'm like, that game is crazy.
And we're talking about athleticism.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude,
you got linemen 350, 400 pounds moving faster than I can in a 20 yard dash. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is. I got a buddy who's on the Lions. He would come over and box before OTAs started. With my coach Jay, who comes over my house on Sundays, and we do boxing, and I have some friends over like every Sunday morning, and to watch just, you know, he's 290 maybe, and to watch how he's moving and his footwork, and I'm like, oh my God, this guy. But it's so quick, like so technical, like an absolute killer. And then, you know, I work with Tony Adams, who's from East St. Louis. This guy, undrafted, started at the end of his first year in the NFL, started fully his second year, which was last year. And I worked with him all this offseason until he went to OTAs. And to see his athleticism and his drive and the things that he can do with his body. Kyren Williams, I worked with him for like 4 to 6 weeks last summer.
He's nasty.
Unbelievable. Yep. Like just the pure power, raw athleticism out of those guys. Like they blow hockey players out of the water.
Do.
Like it's actually it's wild.
They do. I think most of the time hockey players just got big legs and
you know, it's just a different game.
Yeah.
Like, but you're also like, hockey players are crappy runners because we don't run. No. We skate. This is a different motion than this.
Yep,
so you put a hockey guy next to a football guy, and the football guy absolutely smokes him.
Yeah.
But if you put the football guy on the ice, he can't even skate.
Right.
So, you know.
Well, didn't Ryan Reeves learn to fight on the ice? Like, I'm pretty sure Reeves got boxing practice, like, literally on the ice.
Oh, dude. Yeah. That guy I was telling you about, Steve McIntyre, my first pro practice. Right? Mm-hmm. We lose on Saturday to Ferris State at Western Michigan. I sign my contract Sunday night. Monday morning, I fly to Boston, get there at night, get my physicals, drive down to Providence where their AHL team is, 45 minutes apart. First practice is Tuesday morning. At the end of short practice, the team's first place in the league, so they only had a 45-minute practice. They just had 2 days off, so the guys were all out. They weren't, you know, hungover, and they had a good time. They're in first place. They're killing it. So at the end of practice, coach is like, all right, get on the line. We're just going to do some cardio, just like a little bag skate here, 5 minutes. Like, just, you know, just get through it. And he's like, Matt, here, Matt, get in the corner. And I'm like, what the hell's that? So we're skating, I hear the whistle, you know, I'm skating. And then I'm just hearing pop, pop, pop. And we're all skating. And I look down the corner and there's one guy and another guy out there who just came out of the ice out of nowhere. He's not wearing a helmet. He only has shin pads, a jersey on, and like boxing mitts that you like practice punching. And McIntyre's holding a towel around this guy's neck while this guy's holding the mitts close to his face. And this 275-pound monster is just punching. So while the rest of the team, all, you know, probably 25 guys, are skating lines, there's this absolute unit in the corner and this guy who came out of nowhere to just practice fighting on the ice. We finish skating. Coach comes up to me. He's like, Vex, go in the corner, work with Dougie and Mac. And I'm like, that guy? Work with that guy? I'm not working with that guy. No. So that guy, Dougie, is the movie Goon. He's Goon. He's the real guy.
Oh,
he's
shit.
A real person.
Really?
He was our fight doctor. He was our fighting coach in Providence. But I'm standing there.
I love that movie.
Yeah, I'm watching McIntyre punch, and I'm like, I had a meeting with the Bruins like 3 weeks before that, before I signed, and they're like, you know, the way you play, you know, you're not a fighter, but you're probably going to have to defend yourself, fight sometimes. I'm like, I'll fight anybody.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing that meeting and me saying that and watching McIntyre hit these
moves. Like maybe not,
like,
maybe not ever.
Why
that guy.
Did I say that?
This guy
will punch a hole in my soul. Yeah. Just a different level. Different level.
Just a big guy.
Yeah. Monster.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like the fighters are kind of, well, as of this year, they started fighting more. I forgot the new guy that came in.
Rempy from the Rangers.
Yeah.
And he's fans
just
love him.
He's just coming in, and he's, like, taking on.
Fighting anybody.
He's really taking on the biggest guys. He's taking on fighters that have been around forever, and he's just going after
it. Hockey fans love it.
Yeah. I fucking love it. I was like, this is awesome.
I mean, part of it, all sports, you have, like, especially when I went to Europe. I played my last 6 years over in Europe. And they're crazy. The fans in Europe, it's like a soccer game.
Yeah.
Like a European soccer game, that's how hockey is too. They're waving flags or beating drums. They're spitting on the other team and throwing. It is amazing.
We can't do any of that shit.
No, we can't. No. But like,
we can't even bring that stuff. Yeah.
But it just made me realize, and a lot of salaries are driven by fans. Like it's sponsors, fans, and then the government. If you have like when I played in Japan and in Austria, our team was like the national team for the country. So like the government was giving the team, the organization, millions. So like that, but like without the fans here, there, wherever, there's no leagues.
Yeah.
So also like if the fans love fighting, they're gonna keep fighting because if there's no fans, there's no league.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like this is entertainment first and foremost. Because without that, there's no fans, no league.
Yeah.
So,
what's your favorite place you've been overseas?
And
then, what's your least favorite place?
So, people always ask me that, and I always ask, do you mean hockey or like the life, like living outside
just
of hockey?
If a normal person's going there,
normal person.
Yep.
Well, I would say places everyone should go would be Tokyo.
Okay.
Because I lived in Scandinavia in multiple cities. I lived all over Europe, different countries, different cities. Traveled all over for our games and breaks and stuff. There's no place in the world like Tokyo.
Did you learn Japan at all? Japanese?
Did I learn Japan? I learned Japan. Watashi wa Jehu.
We could have just skipped past that.
No, we're calling you out, bro. I chirp. I'm a hockey player.
Japanese. Sorry.
Actually, Japanese was. So I played in the Austrian League, but my team was right outside of Budapest in Hungary.
Okay.
The Austrian League was like when I played in it, I want to say it was 8 teams in Austria and then 4 or 6 teams like Italy, Slovenia, Budapest, Hungary, you know, a couple right outside Austria. And Hungarian was harder to learn than Japanese. Japanese I picked up, but I went to Japan after I'd already been in Norway, Italy, and Hungary. So like, I don't know if maybe that helped me pick up Japanese faster.
Sure.
But Japanese really wasn't that hard to learn, like the simple stuff. Obviously, it's really intense, you know? But I don't know. It's easier for me to understand and hear Japanese than it is like Finnish. Finnish sounds like clicking to me.
Yeah.
It's like,
yep,
like a lot of like that. And I'm like, what
we
are
don't
you
it's because
saying?
We don't use our mouth like that.
Yeah, no,
like
we don't.
Some of those countries like literally use like muscles in their tongue completely differently than we do. And we're like, well, I can't even do that.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I physically can't do that.
In Japan, they say L's for R's and R's for L's. So like instead of saying rice, they say lice.
Yeah.
Because they can't, but they can say the R, but they can't get their brain around when it's in a word to say it rice. It's really interesting. So, you know, talking to them and some of my teammates spoke Japanese and some didn't. I had a translator. There's only three imports when I played in Japan.
Yeah.
So it's like a really hard league to get into because they pay well and stuff. Yeah. But we had a translator. So he would go everywhere with us if we want him to. He's on the bench. So the coach is saying something to me and my line mates. The translator, it's coach. Translator, my line mates, and he's saying something. I'm saying to him, he's talking to the guys. And as I learned more and more Japanese, and I got really good at miming. You know, I want you to go here and do you understand? You know, that type of stuff.
Yeah. There
but
was
a good experience.
Ever since I remember watching Mr. Baseball, I don't know if you...
dude, it's like that.
Dude, okay, so Mr. Baseball is who does it?
It's Knight Rider, isn't it?
Tom Selleck. So my dad had that movie on DVD. And I used to watch that shit all the time.
Honestly,
but that
it's
movie is
like that.
Okay, that movie is like hilarious.
Like
dude.
Sitting on the floor when you're going into some restaurants, a lot of restaurants, you're sitting on the floor.
Yep.
Like that movie, it's a little bit overdramatized, but honestly, if you watch that movie, that was my life for 2 years.
Yeah.
I'm the guy.
You ever seen that?
No.
Oh, dude, you're
too
watch it.
When you're too young.
Oh,
92.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to say, late
80s. I wasn't even a thought.
Yeah.
Not even a thought.
Great movie.
Yeah, I was born in 93, so I was just old enough to watch that movie.
That's funny.
But Mr. Baseball is like, that's how I would envision it.
Honestly, it's how it was.
Yeah. How are the people in Japan?
Awesome.
Really?
Oh, my God, dude. I relished my time in Japan. Mm. I had an offer.
Because I always think they're like, they always say they're like hardworking. They're not that like interested in other people.
No, dude, they are. No, they're... It's amazing. I had an offer to go over to Japan when I first decided to stop playing in the U.S. and go over to Europe to finish my career because of my concussions.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I'm not going to Japan. Like, hockey can't be that good there. And the money was decent. And you know, so then it was probably 4 years later.
Mm-hmm.
I was like almost like begging to get to Japan because the money was good and I wanted a new experience and my body was beat up and all those things. And when I got there, I was like, oh, my God, biggest mistake ever not coming here and trying to play as long as I can here, which could have been a pretty long time probably. What I learned there, and it definitely changed my life, if you are a janitor at McDonald's, you are proud to be that janitor at McDonald's.
Yeah.
Your goal every day when you wake up is to be the best McDonald's janitor in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You take pride in that.
Yeah.
And that is why... all of their streets are clean. I traveled all over Japan for games. We would play exhibitions all over the country, all over Tokyo. It is so spotless. It is so clean.
I fucking hate people that litter, dude.
Next to no crime.
Yeah.
Like assaults and things like that. Like little kids walking miles, five-year-olds, 5 years old. I would see them on my way to practice walking by themselves 2 miles to the school, close to my house, to where they were 5 years old walking by themselves.
Yeah.
That would never happen in the U.S.
No.
When we would travel in Tokyo and we'd go like from the hotel to a restaurant and we'd take the subway, little kids by themselves on a subway that is complete. You can barely even move it. You're sardines.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to mess with them. Nobody's going to touch them. Nobody's going to steal. Disgusting stuff.
Yep.
Like, there's a lot of things from Japanese culture that I really wish we could bring over here.
Yeah.
It's a cool place.
So I just need to learn Japan.
Yeah, we need to learn
Japan.
Yeah.
We need to
learn Japan and go to Tokyo.
Yeah, we need to learn to speak Japan.
Yes.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. So what do you think? What time of the year should you go to Japan? So
I'll go to Tokyo because it's always nice there.
Okay.
It's always good climate there.
Because I want to go skiing if I'm going to go to Japan.
So, and Tokyo is great because there's a mountain really close to Tokyo.
They have apparently some of the best powder skiing in the world.
Yeah. I didn't ski when I was there, but a couple of my teammates did. It's like so beautiful. It's so beautiful. And there's so many people, and you're just like, you're in awe. You're like, how are there this many people? And they're not killing each other.
Yep.
And everybody's polite. And it's just like,
I don't even think their policemen carry guns and shit like
that. They probably don't.
Yeah.
Why do you think that's the case? Because we were more prideful 20 years ago.
Yeah, I know.
What's happened? Is it just
culture?
Do they not have social media over in Japan that just is like taking a hold? Because it seems
it
seems like community.
China, I know, is different with the social media.
It
like you
like
can get on Facebook in China. Yeah. Like I played in China a lot, in Russia as well.
The community's like been ripped apart from us. We don't have like
we're in a community. Yeah,
yeah. We don't have like corner stores or like we don't have like any local stuff. It's all
And if we do,
let's go to Amazon.
Sketchy.
Yes.
Let's go to Amazon.
Bro. Yes.
And
yes, I go out of my way to try and shop at local stores as much as I possibly can. Yeah. And it's the overdevelopment of these big conglomerates, and it's in America, so like it's allowed, and I believe in that type of stuff. But like consumers, we're lazy now, man. We are lazy. I've lived in so many countries. We are lazy.
Yep.
People in other countries are starting to laugh at us. We're lazy. We're overweight. We think we're the best, but we're not anymore. Yeah. Look at our test scores. Yeah. We're not.
We're definitely not
even
the smartest.
Close to the top in anything.
Yeah.
Anymore,
no.
Because we, you know, we lost our sense of pride. All of a sudden, it's cool to hate America.
Yeah,
right. It's cool to just like our political parties with only two are always doing this and forced division and all these things. And it's like you're a radical if you're pro America.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Yep.
What do you mean?
Yep.
Like that stuff drives me nuts, man. Yeah. Because I love Japan. Still rather live in the U.S. When I was younger, I used to say, I don't know, like maybe Scandinavia has it right. Then I lived there and I saw that the ability to move upward in society economically is not even close to the not saying you are going to, but you have the opportunity here.
Yep.
And you do not have that opportunity anywhere else in the world, which is like, and all these people who live on their phone and have never been anywhere else, want to trash America, but they've never been anywhere. They don't know.
Yeah.
Just go work harder.
Right.
Go work smarter.
Yep.
Figure it out. We have all the resources in this country. Other countries do not get what we get.
No.
They do. I lived in Italy. If you didn't get to the grocery store between these hours and these hours, which was about 2 hours and 2 hours in this small town, you weren't getting groceries.
Right.
And then you go there tomorrow, there's a family holiday, not a holiday in the country, just a family holiday. So they're taking 2 days off. Well, now I got to drive 35 minutes through the mountain pass that might be closed to get to a grocery store to get food. Cause I didn't know that this was in America. You can get groceries anywhere.
There's
you can get DoorDash at 3:30 a.m.
100%.
It's just like people don't get it. And it's their lack of understanding and their lack of experience, which is why they trash what's going on here instead of using it to their advantage.
Yeah.
They just want to complain.
Yep.
They want everything for free.
Yeah.
It's not how the world works, man.
No. Yep.
You know?
Well, I always think it's funny, the universal basic income thing. It's like, how are we going to pay? We already pay people to sit at home. We're going to pay everyone to sit at home?
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's just people who don't understand economics and small business. It's going to kill. You talked about with big business. It's going to kill small. I'm a small business owner.
Right. Yep.
I can't pay my coaches, you know, this much when I'm only bringing in this much.
Yeah.
Like,
hello,
it's
pay more
math.
Than I am. Yeah.
You can't take more out of the bucket than is going in, you know?
Exactly.
You're going to kill small businesses. And then what's going to happen is
the
government will swoop in, and now the government is running everything.
Mm-hmm.
And if we look at history, any country anywhere, bad idea.
Bad idea.
Bad idea.
It doesn't work out.
Well, the government always has their way. And I think there's finally starting to be a wave of people trying to say, like, you know, we've had enough.
Yeah.
We're gonna kind of come
I think 2020 people saw.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. That's not freedom. You can't tell me. You can't force me to do this or do that or take this or not. You're gonna try and force.
Yeah.
You know, my gym is in Chesterfield.
Yeah.
Trying to tell me I can't work.
Yeah.
What do you mean I can't work? I was sneaking guys into my gym, making them park in the back of the building. Yep. I had cops knocking on the door sometimes. 100%.
You're talking about House of Pain?
Yeah, no. No, my gym in Chesterfield.
Okay,
my gym's in Chesterfield.
It's House of Pain. They were
Joe
they
was
went.
The man. Joe
they were
was
going
the reason.
After
yes.
it, dude.
Joe was the reason.
They were attacking St. Louis.
I've given Joe so many hugs. I cried to him one time. I was like, the reason that I'm at where I'm at in my business now is because COVID, I made massive leaps and bounds during COVID.
Yeah.
Everybody else sat home and accepted a check.
Yep.
I didn't want the check. I didn't take the check. I said no to the check. I worked my ass off. I built another vertical in my business, which is massively successful, relatively speaking. And because Joe put his face on the news and said, you cannot close me down, I kept my business open and it changed my life. I owe Joe so much. And I tell him that every single time I see him.
Yeah. Well, so many people for a while there, it was like you were – one day,
well, it's funny they're closing down gyms. The one thing that you know,
the one thing is keeping people healthy.
Yeah,
come on, you idiot.
Yeah, and like 2019, you could be best friends
so
with somebody,
dumb.
And then you go on Facebook, and because they didn't get you know a jab, whatever, you now hate this person.
Wild.
And I mean,
forced
at that
division.
Point,
forced division.
The stuff coming out,
pain
the
and
stuff
like
coming
that.
Out now is seeming like maybe
well,
we shouldn't have.
It was out back then too, because I was talking about it every single day. Believe me, but all dude, I mean, I was telling people in my family.
I got regret. I got regret for getting
you know, like this inf- info was out there. There was people talking about it, but they were literally silencing them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Insane.
Yeah.
Absolutely insane.
Well, Dr. Molly first Jane. At the time, and Andy would go, Andy and Sal would go at it, and everybody... I can't say everybody, but most people that worked at First Form were kind of on the side, like, hey, oh, yeah. I'm not going to get this shit. I never got it.
Right.
But he was like, I'm not shutting shit down. Yeah. They had the same kind of thing that House of Painted. Luckily, yeah. They're very, very established. Yeah. So,
well, at they that just time, paid, though, they were big.
They were big.
They weren't as big as they are now, though.
Oh, yeah.
COVID pushed them over the
open. I know. Whenever I left, like two years ago, within 2 years to now, they have grown double, if not triple.
I think they doubled from like 2019 to 2021.
They were going
I think
crazy. They doubled in size.
Mm-hmm. And maybe they've doubled again since then or more.
Because I was there for a year and a half. And that year and a half, I've never seen a company grow so much in that time. But I think it's because Andy has his podcast and he says whatever the fuck he wants to say. But also, everybody that works there wasn't scared to say what they wanted to say because they knew that he would...
Back him up.
Even if he didn't agree with that, he'd be like, I got you. Like, say what the fuck you want to say.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? So during COVID, that's what you needed.
He
sent money to a bunch of different people.
Yes.
You know, I'm sure that the House of Pain type people that, you know, were keeping their business open. So I think that's what helped St. Louis culture a lot. I mean, I'm pretty
sure he'd find, like, a bunch of money.
I mean, he
like a lot. I don't know if, I wonder if you ever ended up going to court for that or figuring out.
The First Form or the
House of Pain guy? No, House of Pain. I thought, I had heard that they were trying to get him for like hundreds of thousands of dollars in fines.
I think it's all over now. I got to think that.
Well, you still have the guy that led the charge in COVID still in his same position. His name is Sam Page, and fuck you.
Yeah, fuck that guy. I love this energy, boys. Yeah. I would have fucking been here way sooner.
Sam Page sucks.
Yeah. My kid can still do his sporting events, but no other kids can.
Yep.
Suck a fart out of my ass, Sam Page.
Yep. I know. And then we got, who cares?
What's the St. Louis companies that are finally starting to be like, you know what, we're going to do whatever we want.
Restaurants were shut down forever in St. Louis.
Oh, yeah, but if you sit down, you can't get it. But as soon as you stand up, if you don't have that mask on, you're going to jail. Because you get it standing up, but not sitting down.
Yeah. The whole thing.
You idiots!
The whole thing was insane.
Not how it works. Yeah. God.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. Everyone threw their brain out.
Yeah.
Like,
it worked well.
I got kicked out of multiple restaurants because I refused. Uh-huh. I was like, so that guy right there who's 4 feet away from me can be sitting down without a mask, and I walk in without a mask, and I'm not allowed to be in here?
Yeah.
I've never gone back to those places, and I never will. You're ridiculous.
There was actually, I'll just say the name because who cares. What's the O'Connell's?
Oh, I don't even know what that is.
Dude, literally some of the best burgers in St. Louis.
Not a clue.
I believe the father died. The son took it over 2016, 18 or so. Food quality has gone downhill. And then I go in there, probably 2021. They were making you have a vax card.
So many places started to do that. They were
one of the first.
I got a fake vax card.
I got...
It's like a fake ID.
I was with a couple of people. Like I got mine, regretfully, because I didn't know at the time. I was just like, I need to get my vax that way.
Yeah,
I can.
I know. And a lot of people.
I was like, I'm a salesperson. I get in front of people, and I was like, they want to know I have a vax, so I'll just get one.
Dude, I had
people that didn't have the vax card with me, and I was like, what do you mean you have to? We know it. Like, even at that point, I was like, we know that you could get it, even if you have it. So I was like, but the general manager I was talking to was... I don't want to use the word woke, but whatever word you want to use.
Woke, for sure.
Yeah. He's like stuck into this thought. It's like, dude, can you not think for – you literally can't think for yourself at all.
No. I mean, most people we saw.
Yeah.
I think COVID taught you that you can – you are – you know, you can't talk for yourself or anybody else there.
And you can – the power of manipulation is a real thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people realize. I mean, like, I see, like, so much stuff on TV now where I'm like, there was no need – to put that in this scene, other than you're pushing a specific agenda.
Yeah.
That didn't fit into the storyline. That didn't fit in with the characters. You are literally pushing this agenda through this medium.
Yeah.
And I literally basically don't even watch normal TV anymore because on every show, I'm like, why? Why did you just put that in there? That was unnecessary.
All of the NBC and CBS, nightly shows, like, everyone, what was it? This Is Us, I think, was a big one.
I can't watch remember. Fucking TV.
And I was at my parents one night, and they had it on, and they were talking about one of the BLM protests, I think, in the show. And I was like, why?
Yeah.
There's all sides of agendas.
I get it, but yeah. Also, agendas, I'm watching this show for entertainment.
Yes.
And I'm not, I'm trying to escape where I'm at now.
Yeah. Right.
Not trying to reinsert myself into the bullshit around.
But they
all
know
the
that.
Time.
But that's
they
because
know that.
You were able to zoom out and see that.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't. Yeah. And they don't even know that their mind is just being ninja'd
yeah.
all day.
Right.
And then that's where a business owner is like, you need a vax card because I'm scared. And
yeah. Yeah.
It's like, bro, what?
Yep.
Yeah. You know, if you're going to get it, you're going to get it. You can't do anything. By the way, the particle size of fucking COVID is smaller than what a mask can filter out.
Right.
God, like.
Well, this just showed how easily you could convince somebody of something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah, dude. It's wild. It's wild. It's literally wild.
I remember when people were, it doesn't matter, people were like Germexing like to-go bags and stuff.
I played poker with masks and hospital gloves on. I'm like, why? I look back and I'm like, why? I never got that. That's actually pretty cool.
Yeah. That's like a.
Just like playing poker with some hospital gloves. I'm sitting like right
if
here.
If everyone has glasses, the hospital masks and the gloves, like no one knows who's who. They're
but
like
to me.
Yeah. You're like, I'll call with sticks my hand.
To me, like that instance, it's funny to look back on that.
Yeah.
But then you take that exact same thing and you put it into somebody's dying relative in a hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't allowed to hug them.
Yep.
They weren't allowed to see them. They weren't allowed to kiss them.
Nuts.
And then we find out that the hospital's getting kickbacks for everybody.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
You disgusting.
Yeah.
Like, oh man. Like, it's, I
would. But our healthcare and insurance companies don't make them enough money.
Yeah. Yeah. Weird. You know, it's, dude, it's such a joke.
All right. Before we get out of here, tell the viewers where they can find you.
Yeah, I just like to direct everybody to my Instagram because I try to genuinely help people every single day with something that'll help them with the gym. I obviously do work with a lot of elite athletes, but I try and show things in a simple manner. During the hockey season when all my guys are gone to playing wherever they are,
mm-hmm.
I just do like coaching videos that are easily digestible. You can save it and use it the next day at the gym and try something.
Yeah.
I try to answer all of my DMs and I get a lot, so I try to answer them all and mm-hmm. just really help people. So it's just my name at Jeff LaVecchio or gmbm.com is my website.
Cool.
Awesome.
And we'll link it in the bio as well. So if you're watching this, link will be there too. All right. That's all the time we have for this week. However, we will be back next week, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time. New episode, new guests, and more of myself and Adam here. If you're watching now, you said something wrong, said something you hate. We probably did. Let us know. Feel free to send me a message, comment. Send this to your friend that also may hate us or love our takes that we've had today. finally, we recorded here at Half Coast Studios. If you need a podcast recording studio to take care of you, from all of your needs or just editing and distribution, they'll get you taken care of at halfcoaststudios.com. All right, Jeff, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you again for coming in. We'll see everyone next week.
Cool.
See ya.